Hello and welcome to the White Fox Talking Podcast. I'm Matt Charlie Valentine, and at my side, as usual, is Sebastian.
Hi, Charlie.
How are you, mate?
I'm all right, thanks. It's funny because you're looking at me, but we also got the cameras going.
Yeah, so you're there. Hello. It's technology, folks. We're getting a grip of it. Sonny, how many episodes are we in?
47.
Is this
48, this? Yeah.
This will go out as 48. So we've recorded 50 or so, haven't we?
Yeah.
I believe so. I'm now understanding not to sit on a rocking chair. Yeah. And I can't touch anything, and I'm barefoot and what have you, so that we're not making any noises.
And it still doesn't work.
And it's still hard work for you doing editing. So anyway, how have you been since we caught up last?
Yeah, very well, thanks. I've just been on a first aid course. Got it tomorrow as well. Unfortunately, they do not touch on mental health first aid.
Ah, but you can do that as an add-on. You can do that elsewhere.
Yes, but not as an add-on where I'm doing it.
And would you have to pay for it yourself then?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. And they're worth doing. We have spoke to a few people now, haven't we? We had Kelvin in. Spoke to a few people about how prevalent. And I suppose with myself working outdoors, I'm much more likely to come across somebody with a potential mental health issue or some neurodivergence that I should be aware of than I am of someone just taking a trip, slip, fall, breaking an ankle. I think I've seen one broken ankle in 15 years working outdoors. Couple of other little niggles and stuff like that, but a fair few people that will open up in the outdoors about that. Mm. Well, so yeah, well worth doing. Shall I tell you we've got today?
No, I'm going to ask you.
Oh, go on then. Go on. You ask me.
Who do we have in today?
Well, we have a long-time friend of mine, and I'm very glad he's been here to come in. It's Mr. Craig Gilmore of Champions Community Sport and Health CIC. The White Fox Talking Podcast is sponsored by Energy Impact. Hello, Craig.
Good evening.
How are you?
Very good.
You're not too nervous with that camera shining at you?
Yeah, a little bit nervous. It's all new, is this? So.
Well, it's still new to us, mate. We've only done 50.
Podcast virgin.
Podcast virgin, well, yeah. So if you could give us a brief introduction about yourself. Don't give too much away, and then we'll get on about what you're doing with this project.
I'm director of a company called Champions Community Sport and Health CIC. We work in quite a deprived area of Leeds, working with children and young people, providing cheap and affordable sport and trying to sort of break down barriers and give kids opportunities.
What we're going to talk about first is how you got here, because I know from knowing you, how many years have I known you? I must have known you half my life.
Yeah.
That's a long time. Even half my life is a long time now. Your background, I believe you're on the books at Nottingham Forest, weren't you?
Back in the day, yeah.
So you've always been involved with sport.
Yeah, so I've worked in the sport, in community forever, really. So I worked as a sport development manager for many years in the community. And then just before lockdown, I changed careers and I became a driving instructor.
Right.
So during lockdown, I had the idea that I wanted to keep me hand in with sport and community work. So I set up Champions, and the rest is history.
So Champions, this is what we're on about, the idea of what we want to get you in for. What is the sort of goal, the purpose, or the idea behind it?
Yeah, the idea behind it is, really, it started in lockdown when all the kids were locked down and sort of going stir crazy and all the craziness of COVID and all that. Decided that I want to do something and get the kids back out and active in the fresh air and back socialising and interacting and keeping fit. So we set up a little football session, and it was one of them where it kind of were a bit intermittent because we were locked down and then we weren't locked down and then we were back on. And we just started off with 18 kids playing football on a field, and sort of fast forward 3 years and we've got like 400 kids on our database, and we do much more than football.
Can we get political, sir? We generally do, don't we?
Well, you can, yeah.
Yeah, so the COVID thing keeps popping up on the podcast, and I suppose we can look at it as a double-edged sword, really, because it's sort of highlighted mental health. A lot of more people talking about the mental health situation. And I suppose, from your perspective, it was the foundation of this. But on the other side, when are we going to see the sort of these effects? And I think, you know, when we had lockdown and young people cut off from their communities and their friends and friends' networks, and sometimes locked in houses with issues going on in them houses where they won't escape to. What's your sort of thoughts on that, Greg?
that's where the idea were born, really, because of that. And the kids were locked down, and it were ridiculous, wasn't it, where they couldn't socialise or they couldn't go out of the house. And I don't want to go too deep politically.
Do it, Craig.
But there was obviously a need for the kids to get out there and let off some steam in a polite way. So that's where the idea were born, and the idea grew, really. And from there, it's sort of carried on growing, and we've done some pretty good stuff with it over the last few years.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get through my library of audiobooks I've listened to. There's been a few, like Losing Eden and things like this, where when we deprive people of the outdoor environments, it does impact mental health. And if we are keeping people from exercising and young people from playing, they're not developing their own mental health and own characters.
Absolutely.
So you've started off with 18 people playing football. And is that, what else do we do, or how has that grown?
Well, it started off as just a soccer Saturday. It was just an hour on a Saturday morning, come for a kickabout, and we had to be in bubbles initially, if we remember back, and we had to keep groups away from each other and keep the social distancing, so trying to play football and try to do a lot of individual skill work, because in the initial phase, we weren't allowed to be as a group. And obviously, as a team sport, you need your teammates. So therein lies a problem. But then as we move forward away from COVID, we're a little bit different to your traditional clubs. So what we found is there's loads of football clubs out there, and I'm not going to slag anybody off, but we're doing things a little bit differently. We take away all the barriers. I always say that football's almost, grassroots football's almost a middle-class sport, in that you need a certain level of income, you need all the equipment, you need parents to take you to and from, you need the direct debit to pay for your subs. And when I say that to people, people say, oh, you're joking, what are you on about? It's cheap and stuff like that. But trust me, our project has grown on the back of, there's a lot of people out there that are struggling and can't obviously afford your traditional clubs. So we have an open door policy whereby it doesn't matter how good you are, it doesn't matter how bad you are, it doesn't matter if you've got a disability. We have lots of siblings that come, so normally in a grassroots setting, you would go to a team and you've got to be a certain ability, a certain level, and fit in with the criteria. Whereas ours, you know, we have lots of families that come where three brothers can join in the same session and all get something from it. We have kids with disabilities that come along and feel part of the session. And then we have kids right up to the other end where they're in professional academies. So it's very different to your normal, traditional grassroots football team. Now, like I say, I'm not going to slag them off because they all serve a purpose and they do some great work in the communities. But that's where we found a little niche, and we're a little bit different to most other clubs.
Can I just ask, why football?
That's my passion, my background. So when I was sat at home thinking, when I'm allowed to go back out and work as a driving instructor, I'm going to need some fresh air myself, and I'm going to need to sort of tap into my old skills, because I'd worked as a coach and a trainer and gyms, and I've done that all my life. So just before the lockdown, when I started driving instructing, I needed to sort of keep the old skills ticking over.
So on that point, if we just look at yourself, just could you describe to, or outline to the listeners, if you were to be just driving instructing, going home on a night, and then just doing that week in, week out, and not getting this outdoor experience that you've had before, what would that be taking away? Because you obviously have played football, been very sporting, and then if you just describe the things that it means to you, because it'll give a description to the listeners.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, fitting in with the work you guys do, I think it's healthy body, healthy mind, and fresh air and a bit of sunlight and a bit of vitamin D is massively important. Because I could sit in that car 12 hours a day and be in a little tin box talking to people about work. And you need a release, and you need to do something out there and have hobbies and interests that sort of give you a purpose in life.
Have you ever experienced any times, apart from lockdown, or even with lockdown, where you haven't done that, where you haven't been outside and noticed any difference in yourself?
Not particularly on a personal level. But what I find is nowadays, people are much more open about mental health, and you know, I've got some close friends that have had the struggles and sort of sharing experiences, and people are a bit more open now than they used to be. So I'm just quite mindful, and through the Champions, I've done mental health first aid and sort of wellness courses. And so I'm quite aware of a positive mental health state and what contributes to that. Fortunately, I've not suffered any trauma or anything like that really in my life. But on the other side, I've always been into healthy body, healthy mind kind of mentality.
Yeah, I'm just thinking then, what popped into my head there? Well, you actually knew me before my PTSD and then early doors. Oh, no, this could be a character assassination. and then early doors, it was training with yourself. You were doing the group classes, weren't you?
Yeah.
And then I went off and did the university certificate in health-related sports and fitness.
Yeah.
Or was it fitness and nutrition? Something like that, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, yeah. And then when I wrote my knee off Thai boxing, it was then that I didn't have that outlet of the outdoors and getting out, you know, and the sport that set me off on my path to a major fundraiser for Guinness and Jameson. Yeah, I'm just like, wow, that's a bit of a backflash. I mean, can I ask you there? Did you notice at that time about?
No, I think
I think I cut myself off.
Yeah, I think we're all pretty much in our own little bubble back then. I think I think nowadays people are much more aware, aren't they? And there's a lot more awareness and positivity around. And I think back then, you know, looking back, I'm sure you were suffering in silence. And
yeah, I think because I did get quite a lot of the, at that time when I got quite a lot of the man up stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because people didn't talk about PTSD really. So even now, if you say you're living with PTSD, people assume that you're in the services.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Either one of the blue lights or the armed forces. So, yeah. Anyway, just a little flashback, a brief interlude into 24 years ago. So you're definitely a advocate for keeping active and sporty.
Absolutely, yeah. And a lot of the kids we work with, obviously, we try and get kids off a plug and out in the fresh air in the great outdoors. Now, it might be a little corner of Beeston, but we've got a bit of an oasis where we are. There's lots of trees and lots of greenery, so it's good for the soul.
So you say kids.
Young people.
Up to 18?
Our youngest is 5 and our oldest is 21, I believe. But the majority of them are teenagers. So around about sort of 14 to 16 is our biggest cohort.
And you mentioned that football can be classed as a middle-class sport. I guess not everyone will have their own boots or their own goalie gloves or their own shin pads. Do you support them in any sort of way?
Yeah.
Have you got like a little stock, loads of footballs? And
yeah, well, we constantly sort of beg, steal and borrow on Facebook and things like that. We sort of keep an eye out for kids that have got holes in the boots or, you know, sometimes kids are playing in the school shoes and, you know, we just try and keep it on the low down and we make sure that everybody's looked after. And, you know, I've got a lot of contacts in sport and we manage to get donations and sponsors and we do try our best to make sure they're all kitted out. And because that's one thing, definitely they're not, you know, they haven't all got football socks and shin pads and boots and rain jackets. And, you know, when the kids are coming in the summer, in the winter, and they've got a little jacket, and you're like, where's your coat? And that is the coat. And so we do try and kit them out accordingly. We run sort of reward programs. So we, every 10 visits, they get vouchers. So once they've been 20 times, they get a free football. So in theory, they can go and kick them out, and they'll know the parents in the gardens or in the stairwells, what I find in the flats and things. But then every 10 visits then, we give them a voucher for JD Sports, or we partner up with Nike down at Crown Point, who are really, really helpful and supportive. And then once you've been 3 visits, we give them a free T-shirt. We do healthy holidays now, and part of the healthy holidays, we get funded through Leeds Community Foundation, Leeds City Council. And in that rewards package, there's always a hat or a snood or a hoodie at the end of the week's course. So we try and kit them out and help with that.
So Beeston, South Leeds, very diverse.
Yep.
And do you have diverse attendance?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I would say probably we're majority Black African on ethnicity. So I suppose it's just a reflection in the area. We don't advertise to a certain culture. We have white British, we have Asian, we have lots of Muslims. And we just open access and everybody just gets on. You know, we sort of service all the local schools. And we've got a real good bunch of kids, actually. If you give them, you know, a bit of platform to get out there and play and socialise. And football's a tool, really. That's kind of the vehicle. But on the back of that, there's lots of powers of sport. And, you know, whether it's wellness and mental health or teamwork, or it just helps them in life, I find.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that. I mean, it's the building this community and networks and helping them with their own growth physically and mentally, I suppose.
Yeah, that's the aim.
I suppose one thing that did occur to me then with some of the young people that I work with now in care is, where would these young people be if they weren't attending your camp?
Well, good question, because if they weren't, where would they be? They'd be on the street corners getting up to no good, and you don't have to go far in Beeston to get up to no good. There's lots of negative influences out there, whether it be drugs, gangs, violence. So we're trying to keep them on the straight and narrow and give them that positive focus in life. And, you know, we've done things like violence reduction training. So we've brought people in with lived experience to talk about drugs and knife crime. And we're all about education. So, like I say, in the initial phase, it were football, be all and end all. But now it's not just football. It's much more than that. So we address the free school meal gap in the holidays. We feed the kids, we try and educate them, and we're just going down the road of putting on some, like a homework club where kids that are struggling for GCSEs and stuff, we've just managed to secure a bit of funding to put on homework club through John Lewis, who have kindly supported us.
I guess everything's quite well attended. Is there a difference between the educational part and the sports part? Is there the football better attended than the educational? Or has the education grown over the years?
Yeah, because it was just football. And then, like I say, we now do holiday clubs. So we have them generally in the school holidays. We do Easter, Christmas and summer. And we do like 4 days, 4 hours a day for 4 days a week. So we do generally Monday to Thursday. And we do 10 o'clock till 2 o'clock. And in that, we do, obviously, football's the driver, but we do some education around it as well. So we brought, on the recent camp that we've just done at Easter, we brought a CIC in called Season Well, and it's all about sort of growing your own produce and cooking it and starting off with that tomato seed and working out how you make it grow it into a tomato. Then it goes into the tomato sauce that's cooking for the lunch. We've got a young leaders program, so we now have young lads that deliver the sessions for us. Some have gone down the sport route and are studying scholarships and things, and we've also got some lads in the kitchen that do all the cooking as well. So it's quite a holistic approach.
It sounds like it's a huge success story for a lot of youngsters. Did you call them
young people?
Young people, yeah.
I was calling YPs.
YPs. With that being, having that in mind, that it's all a huge success story, is there one specific success story that stands out to you, or a few?
Generally, it's quite transformational for some kids. It's sort of rewarded when you see the kid that comes with no confidence and is quite isolated and will sit back and not really get involved. And then a year down the line, he's totally different character. And you know, when you get to know the families and the backgrounds, there's some hard luck stories, and it's great to see them sort of grow as people.
So somebody listening to this that could be in the locality and maybe introduce their young person or the young person themselves, what's the sort of progress? How do they get in touch? Have you got someone that started right back when you started who's still with you? And
yeah.
Just so we can see what happens and how they sort of develop.
Yeah, I suppose all the young leaders that we have, they all started with us as originals, as players, and some of them are now sort of studying A-levels and things, and they get a little bit of paid work off us and do lots of volunteering. And what we found is when kids are leaving school, or young people, they have a blank CV. So if they can get involved in the community we've managed through Street Games, which is a national charity, they've been really helpful. They've done some sort of activator courses and give them little qualifications. So what we've said is if you become young leaders, you're then starting to build a little bit of a portfolio. So if you go for a job, whether it's a part-time job or whether you're going to university or whatever else, you've got a little bit of something behind you. If an employer's picking the CV up and this kid's done a football activator, a multi-skills, a boxing, a badminton, and they've got all these courses and they've shown that in their own time that they're going to try and educate and grow themselves as a person, then they're going to stand out. Young people find it hard for part-time jobs and things now, so it's about trying to build that CV and trying to sort of set them on the right path in life.
Yeah, do you know what? What sort of, without going, I won't go around to Seb, honestly, but what sort of strikes me here is what you're doing is filling a gap that some people wouldn't be able to do financially or socially, social problem, but also education. And that's, when I talk about that, I mean the, going back to the tomato plant, with young people not being involved in basically knowing where food comes from.
Yeah.
And then coming out of packets and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, you know, we work with a great organisation called Seasonwell, and that's what they do. They travel around the city working with schools and youth groups. And at the hut where we're based, we work out of a bowling hut, and we've managed to get some raised beds and things, and we grow our own produce now. So it's just they're really knowledgeable and foraging. And so they came and planted at Easter. But in summer, they will then take some of that produce and then cook with it as well. So the kids are getting some sort of culinary skills as well as from that just football session kicking about now, it's sort of understanding what goes into the food chain.
I do remember you training or teaching or running classes and banging on to, well, we ran the half marathon together, didn't we, years ago?
Yeah.
But and when was that, 2002, I think it was?
Yeah.
I think I beat you, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think you might have done.
I don't think I could run that fast again. Yeah. But even back then, you were very big on the, you know, this idea of getting your fruit and veg in.
Yeah.
And I suppose if you're running these classes now and, you know, having young people performing sports, but getting that background of it, of the mind-body, and then what you can get out of it by being more nutritionally aware.
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, if they've got an aware, and I know there's sort of messages all over the place now, but if we can do our little bit towards that, you know, and it all links in the physical and the mental health and healthy diet and hydration and all the rest of it. If, you know, if you feel good, then you're going to look good and perform better, whether it's at sport, at school, work, what, you know, whatever field you're in.
You mentioned earlier about young people that may be coming to you with disabilities. What sort of disabilities can you sort of accommodate?
Well, we don't sort of advertise as a disability session, but we're certainly open for people with disabilities. And we've had a few young people come with cerebral palsy. We've got a lad at the minute that's volunteering, that's plays football for the local CP team. And he's getting involved in the coaching side of things. We've got a young lad that comes that's deaf. So my wife finds it a bit of a challenge to learn a bit of sign language. And, you know, lucky enough, he's quite good at lip reading. And, you know, it just opens your eyes and it gives you a bit of a different take on life, having to sort of be a lot more open and accessible and try and help these young people, you know, fit into society where, like, going back to the old grassroots club, if a kid comes with disabilities, then they don't really fit in, whereas they can all be part of our session.
I suppose that goes back to when I was playing football as a YP with my disability of two left feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible. And what about neurodivergence that you might get in these? If you've got 400 young people on your books now or coming to these sessions, there must be quite a wide array. What do you see in these young people? Do they declare it? How do you work with that?
Yeah, I think we probably average, every Saturday morning, we get somewhere between 75 and 100 kids on a regular basis every Saturday. And then in the school holidays on our holiday camps, again, we tip up to 100 kids a day sometimes. So it's difficult, but obviously you just look for the signs, you know, the kids that are withdrawn, the kids, any change in behaviour. You know, and if we can do a group activity, it's great, but sometimes it's just a case of having a quiet word on the side. What we try and do is try and know something about all our members. So obviously there's myself, my wife and our little team. We try and know a little bit about everybody, you know, so we try and show an interest in the home life and all that. And you know, we get to know families. Interestingly, if you went and watched a normal football session, there'll be a sideline full of parents. We get very few that come. They all sort of self-refer to our project. And it's not until we do a home visit or knock on the door, we get to know a little bit more and circumstances. And we kind of try and dig a little bit deeper. And then if there's people with needs or things, then we will try and work with agencies if we have to.
It just seems to be a lot. I don't know whether it's because testing is more prevalent, you know, in the sort of school education system, that we seem to be dealing with a lot more young people with some sort of neurodivergence. And that can be quite taxing, can't it? Because, I mean, for yourselves, having to know how to handle that from one person to another.
It's kind of a massive upward curve for us. We've had to do a lot of learning on the job. And I think you've got to be human, haven't you? You've got to be open and you've got to show a bit of compassion. And from that, you get to know a little bit more about the young people that you're working with.
Your team, you mentioned your team there.
Yeah.
Can we go through them and give them all a mention?
Yeah. So
don't forget anyone now. I'll put you on the spot.
I'm going to have to use my fingers and toes, I think.
No worries.
But yeah, obviously my family. My wife does absolutely loads for this. It's a shame she's not here tonight to sort of have her input, because she's done a massive job and sort of helped catapult us to new heights. So my wife, Sam, does a great job for us. My daughter comes. She kind of runs a register and cracks a whip in the hut and makes sure that all the lads are doing their little bit in the canteen and on the food side of things. So we've got coaches. We've got Lucas and MK. They're our senior coaches. They're a bit older. They've done coaching at college and things like that. Then we've got the young leaders on the football side. So we have Francis, Festus, who are twins, and Solomon. They're all doing scholarships at the minute, like a football scholarship. So with the hopes of probably making a career in sports and coaching. We have Sham and Ruben that do all the sort of logistics side of things that help up with the setup and the takedown. And then we have three lads in the hut that do all the cooking. So we've got Kimo, Ibi, and Abdul. That's the core. But then we have the other people that come in. You know, we've had people like Emmanuel that sort of drifts in and out. He's now working full time, so he finds it hard to get down. But that's the main core group that sort of are there week to week, day in, day out, and have helped us grow and helped us sort of create a nice little... Someone said to me last week from County FA, they come down and says, it feels like a family, and that's how we see it, really. It's a bit of a champions family. And obviously, all the lads that are coaching for us have all got friends and family within the project, so there's a real sort of family feel to the environment.
These in the team, have they been with you from day one, some of them?
Yeah, so all the young leaders... A lot of them were the originals that started off as participants. And then through the Young Leader Programme, they've done some activator courses and qualifications and become more staff members now, if you like, and volunteers.
Yeah, so you don't have to name anyone, but would you be able to, I don't know, would you, without putting you on the spot again, sort of describe if you've noticed any changes in a certain person, any growth? Because I would imagine from that first session to where they are now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So initially, when we had much smaller numbers, it were all me taking all the sessions. And now I just kind of facilitate, really, walk around and make sure they're all right. And all the lads deliver the sessions on the field. And, you know, if you'd have said that a couple of years ago, I'd have sort of laughed at you. But they're really competent and they've grown in confidence and they've got the voice and they deal with confrontation. They've got knowledge, they have a little bit of fun, they're cracking little coaches, and I'm sure we'll go on to bigger and better things.
What you're saying there, you know, it's this thing of leadership and, you know, forming these networks and just growing as people.
Absolutely.
And I think the confidence is a big one, isn't it, dealing with people?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, sometimes sport's a bit competitive and there's the odd little conflict and they've got to deal with that. And if they step too far, then, and that's where I'll come in. And we've had to go see parents occasionally, but generally they do a cracking job, you know, for young lads that are all trying to make their way in life. And from coming just as a football player to now being a young coach, there's a massive transformation, and you know, you can see them growing as people.
Is there a girls side as well, or?
We do have girls,
yeah.
But we don't have a girls only.
Right, okay.
Again, we don't really advertise it. We've got social media and we're quite active on that, but generally we don't need to advertise. The kids find us and it's all done through word of mouth, and I think that's where the power is, that for them to keep coming back week after week and bringing another friend and bringing another friend. And what started out as just a little slot and beast, and we've now got kids that come from further afield, and you know, there's kids that come on two buses to us, and we don't just service LS 10 and 11. There's kids that come in from Armley and Chapeltown and Alton Moor and all through sort of the networks at the friends with at school and things.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be a positive because, you know, the experience with the work that I'm in at the minute, some of these postcode wars that I just can't get my head around.
Crazy.
It's absolutely nuts where you pick a young person up and they don't want to drive through another area because of the postcode.
Yeah.
So if you're getting this integration...
Oh, this is happening in Leeds?
Oh, yeah. Everywhere.
Absolutely, yeah.
Everywhere. Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and these kids will go to school with those kids that they're in gangs and postcodes and yeah, it's prevalent. You know, you hear all sorts of stories and that's through our violence reduction training, it really opened my eyes to what is going on out there. And, you know, when we did knife crime or county lines, and it sort of opens your eyes to what's going on, and it's quite scary, really, for young people.
I've had quite a bit of experience with county lines, just with the young people I work with. And actually, when I was, you know, back on a few years ago now, working on the doors, and young people in Leeds being sent from London to bloody distribute drugs. Mm. You know, so you're actually, whether you actively set out to do it, but you're keeping these young people. They've made that choice to volunteer and come to you, haven't they? They're not forced to come to you.
No, and that's the thing, you know, going back to the advertising, the kids bring themselves and self-refer, and it's not parent-led. You know, where, you know, I did it with my son. He played football for many years, and not that I'm a pushy parent, but I made sure that he was in the right place at the right time with the right equipment and all the rest of it. And the kids we deal with don't have that. So it's quite interesting how they turn up in the droves every week. And, you know, it's a bit of a throwback to when I were a kid, really, where, like in the school holidays, you left the house at 8 o'clock in the morning and you played out with your mates all day and you went home when streetlights come on. And a lot of the kids we work with are a throwback compared to a lot of the modern-day kids now that are sat on an Xbox or attached to a phone. And, you know, that's where you just see the characters come to life.
Definitely. I know some of the YPs that I work with, when we pick them up from an empty house and then drop them off back to an empty house. So, what they're doing, they're just sat on Xboxes or sat on the phones. And while we're transporting them, they're just... you know, glued to the phone. So the attendance thing that you're getting and people or young people actively volunteering and being involved in sport is amazing. Are you looking at still growing, or are you looking at different avenues so it's not just football? Or you did mention badminton and stuff.
I mean, we're always going to be football dominated because that's our sort of core, if you like. Like, say, from that, it became dealing with hunger, dealing with loneliness, dealing with, you know, we work with families that we can now refer to food banks and things like that, and doing the violence reduction and then doing the leadership programs. And like I say, more recently, we've just tied up a partnership with John Lewis and they're going to provide funding so we can do homework clubs. So the scope's massive, and we're just sort of growing organically, and where we see sort of other avenues, we'll definitely grab every opportunity we can.
And where would you see yourself in 5 years, do you think? Could be scary, mate, where that you've grown.
Yeah, it is a bit scary, actually, because sometimes we've got to put the brakes on a little bit because, you know, it takes over. You know, it's so big, like when we're in the holidays and things, to work with 100 kids all day, every day, and the challenges that brings. And then we've been really lucky with funding. We managed to get some real good sponsors on board and things like that. But it's a constant battle to make sure that we've got enough funding to last the next year and the next year. And I guess sometimes we've got to be quite reactive, and we probably need to sit down and be a bit more proactive and work out where we do go. Because everything we do is free. Any funding we do raise goes straight back into the kids, and be it in services or equipment or food, whatever it may be, it all goes back into the community then.
Just, you mentioned sponsors then. What sort of people, businesses do sponsor you? You might give them a mention, because they are doing a great job supporting you.
We've got a local businessman, and he likes to just stay in the background.
Right.
But he sends us like 50 quid every week, and he's our most local business. He's right on site, and he's got a successful business, and he sends us 50 quid every week through his business. And, you know, that might be, one week it might pay for some food, one week it might pay for a new pair of football boots for somebody that's struggling. We have another guy that wants to stay anonymous, and the food bank put us onto him, and he's an accountant, and he just sends us like 100 quid a month. And again, he doesn't want anything for it. He doesn't want a pat on the back. He does it out of the goodness of his heart, and he'd rather support a local charity where he sees the money being put to good use rather than going into a big charity where sometimes you don't see the value for your money. We've just linked in with Sir Stanley Matthews Trust, who have supported us. So that's ongoing. And, you know, through Leeds City Council and the councillors, and street games were massive in the early days because they sort of give us a pot of funding to get us going off the ground. Developed us with sort of funding bids, developed us with providing young leader courses and activator courses. And there's lots of people that have helped along the journey and got us to where we're at today. It's nice to sort of put the message out there. And, you know, I'm intrigued with what you guys are doing. And, you know, it'd be great to do some partnership work in the future. Talking before we went on air, there's things I'm sure we can help each other out with. And the great outdoors is our... our sort of mantra,
come,
really.
Yeah,
so.
You've come to the right place.
Yeah.
So should any of our listeners decide to send some money towards the champions?
Yeah.
How do they get in touch with you?
Just get in contact with our social media. So we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or, you know, we can put an email up and just do it that way. But generally, we work through social media mainly. Send us a direct message and we'll take it from there. And obviously, any support is welcome. But if it's somebody that just wants to be a service user and come down and get involved, or maybe volunteer, you know, we're always on the lookout for more helpers. And as we grow, we'll have more roles and things like that.
I think what we can do is put the links on the
we will do
podcast.
That. Yeah.
Well, one of us will.
Yeah.
Probably not me, because I'm not very good with this stuff. Do you know what I'm thinking then, Craig? I think we'll have a word afterwards, but it might be good if we pop down and chat about mental health and talking about mental health, because I think what you're doing is amazing, mate, honestly, because you, without me going ranty about the way that I think the education system is, it's all very academic, and people are missing out on this other side of building community and building their leadership skills. You know, if people want to be working in maths and English, fair enough. But, you know, there's another side to life, isn't there, rather than this. Funnily enough, the adage we usually use is you learn to drive, but then you learn to drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you learn and pass your test, and then you learn to drive on the roads. Yep, yeah, so, and I think what you're doing is covering so many bases of life skills where people are missing out, you know, young people are missing out and being isolated.
Absolutely. And, you know, going forward, it doesn't always have to be young people. You know, where we're based, we sort of link in with Friends of Unslipmore, who are a community group, and they do litter picks and they do sort of seasonal events and things. And we're looking to sort of maybe do something. We're surrounded by sheltered housing, so we'd like to sort of get the young people working with the old people and sharing experiences. And, you know, it might be mental health awareness, it might be combating loneliness. There's lots of different ways we can take this, and, you know, we're open, and I'm sure there'll be something in the future for us lads to get our heads together and do some project work somewhere along the line.
There you go, Seb.
Or play a game of football.
Yeah.
Oh, that won't be me, will it? My two left feet.
Well, Charlie could take me for a walk.
Yeah, well, we've done that, haven't we? We did that before. Yeah, we'll have to look. We're definitely looking to, and if there's scope for, you know, people with the outdoor skills.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, we'd love to take a cohort of kids and do some mountain climbing, or just get them in the great outdoors. You know, a lot of these kids don't get out of urban LS10, LS11 areas and, you know, just get them out to the countryside and have a look at a different side of life.
I don't think it's just the young people, mate. I had someone on Yorkshire Three Peaks that couldn't believe they were in the same sort of field system as a sheep running around, you know, and that I think he was about 35. So, yeah, right, brilliant. Thank you for giving up your time and coming in. I hope this goes out and is received well, because, you know, what you're doing is fantastic, in my opinion.
And in mine.
And in Seb.
Thank you very much.
It's not done with
I'm sure in any of our listeners.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of gut to put something like this in place and the energy someone needs to dedicate to get these things off the ground.
So. Yeah, there must be a lot of effort goes in, because I've already commented that you've lost a lot of weight since I saw you last time.
Well, a lot of time and effort. I mean, to be fair, that's just trying to sort my lifestyle out. But, you know, thanks to you, lads. Like I say, we love your message, and I'm sure, I know Sam wants to tap into your skills a little bit, and there's definitely ideas out there that I'm sure we could do some great work going forward, and not only for the young people, but maybe the older end as well.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you.
So, thank you very much to Craig Gilmore, longtime friend.
And talking about a topic that I really like is football.
Yes. Yeah. We'll have to, like you said, we'll good, won't it? A lot to it, a lot with the young people and what they're offering for them. It's good that they've got all these people backing them as well in an area I know as well. I know
and
quite well.
It's not growing very, really, really fast for him, isn't it?
Seems to be, yeah. Seems to be. When we said about how quickly it's growing, he seems to have a bit of a look of worry on his face.
How much a positive worry.
Yeah, it's one of them where if you're doing good work, Seb, it's like us. Oh, it's like you. You know you're helping an old guy do this and you can't get out of it now. Yeah. So what we will have to do is, well, if we get a Saturday free...
We'll have to go play some football.
We'll have to go down. Well, you can play football. We can give them a chat about, I think especially with it being sort of teenage boy dominated, we can go give them a chat about talking about mental health and trying to break that stigma.
And recruit some more listeners.
Recruit some more, yeah. Obviously. Obviously.
Who's here with us next time?
Next time we have Helen Goff. Now, Helen Goff is from another CIC, and that's Elemental Challenge. And what they do is offer, it's like a Duke of Edinburgh Award, but for adults.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's really good. I mean, it's even for people that can't get out of the house and stuff like that. But it gives them that bit of motivation to do something and community. And if they do get out of the house, they're getting the benefits of the outdoors and stuff. So
sounds great.
Yes. Sounds like great. Yeah, I met Jane from the organisation at Adventure Mind last year. So yeah, doing good. Another one doing good things. So that'll be good.
Looking forward to it.
See you then.
Bye.
And if you'd like to support us and help us keep the podcast going, then you can go to Buy Us a Coffee, or you can click that on our website, whitefoxtalking.com, and look for the little cup. Thank you.